yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time once again on the College Draft podcast. And this is the second to last show in which we are thoroughly breaking down every team's draft by division and especially taking a look at what I love. I mean, I like the best pick, but I really like the undrafted gem, the sleeper, and I'm always curious about Fran's we'll see. Speaking of we'll see, if you ever want to answer or ask, I should say, Fran a question that he will answer, take advantage of any of the sponsors over on the sponsor page at rostucker.com that our producer Brian tweets out a lot, at RTF Podcast. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL, where you can hit up Fran at FDuffy3. But like I said, you want to ask Fran a specific question, or me for that matter, take advantage of any of the sponsors over at RossTucker.com, including the Amazon banner ad. So check out the Amazon banner ad. Anytime you need to buy something on Amazon anyway, just click through. It really, really helps. And then if you're like me and you're a little follically challenged, go to keeps.com/RossTucker. You guys heard me mention it yesterday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, those of you that listen to both shows, keeps.com, keeps.com/RossTucker. It's just better. It's way better, and I'm glad I found out about it. Anyway, you guys know the deal. We do top pick, sleeper selection, we'll see, undrafted gem. We're moving on, Fran, to the NFC and the AFC West. Let's start with the AFC West. Let's start with the Broncos, who I felt like had a really good draft, Fran, based on what I know.
I would agree. You know, and I'm looking at the list again right now, just see. I mean, they had a ton of picks. I mean, you had a 1, a 2, you had 2 3s, you had 2 4s, 2 6s. I mean, they came away with a haul. But then you look at the class as a whole, you know, Bradley Chubb, great player. Cortland Sutton, very intriguing player. Josie Jewell in the 4th round. Deshaun Hamilton in the 4th round. Troy Fumagalli in the 5th round. Like, they were just racking up really solid players. So I thought they did a good job overall. As far as who the top pick is, I think it's Chubb, and for a lot of reasons. Look, we've talked about why Bradley Chubb is the best pass rusher in this class. I don't think he's got the highest upside necessarily. You know, and I think he's going to be a really good player. I just don't know that he's ever going to be, you know, that number one super feared pass rusher that's going to wreck games on a weekly basis. But guess what? They don't need him to be that. They've got Von Miller, and that's the kind of the beauty of the Bradley Chubb pick, is that this will allow him to really be that really strong number two guy, a guy that's going to be a force, and he's going to get his share of plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. But they don't need him to be this elite number one pass rusher, because they've got that one guy on the other side. Bradley Chubb's one of the most well-rounded players in this draft, one of the most well-rounded pass rushers that I've watched in the last few years. So I'm really excited about the pick. I'm excited about the fit. I think it was a really good selection.
How about the sleeper for the Broncos?
The sleeper for me, I mean, I could have gone a number of different ways. I went with Deshaun Hamilton from Penn State, you know, a guy who is a technician as a route runner. Yeah, he's not a guy that's going to line up and run a 40 and a 4.4. He's quicker than he is fast, but the kid's really good in and out of breaks. He's got some issues with drops over the course of his career, and that's something to be, you know, but to me, the guy has been super productive. He's really good after the catch. I mentioned his route running. To me, he just does so much very well, and I think when you look at him, I think his skill set's going to translate well. I don't think he's going to be a quote-unquote, you know, number one receiver, but I think that he should be a guy that can fit in outside, inside. I think he can have an impact at the next level.
The we'll see, I know exactly who this will be. Your we'll see for the Broncos?
Yeah, a guy that I haven't been like super high on throughout the course of the process is Royce Freeman. And let me just get into the crux of why. I think when you look at Royce Freeman, he came from an offense number one over the course of his career. And this is going back to when Mark Helfrich was the coach there. This offense was built for a guy like Freeman to succeed. And he executed that offense pretty well. I mean, he was extremely productive from the time he was a freshman. 46 starts. That's more than any running back drafted in the last 10 years. I mean, 46 starts in his career, he's got a ton of mileage. And to me, that's one concern, especially for his style of play. He's a bigger back. He's really strong. He takes care of the football. There's a lot to like with Royce Freeman. I don't know that the athletic upside is necessarily there. I know he tested better than I thought he would, but I still don't look at him and say, yeah, you know, he's got that really explosive short area burst. He's got that wiggle to make people miss. I don't necessarily see that with Royce Freeman. I think he's a strong downhill runner. I think that he'll fit in that kind of role. I wonder about his long-term viability. I wonder about his athletic upside, his ability to impact third down. Those are questions I have. So overall, I think he might be the best back on that roster. I just don't know that in the grand scheme of things, if he was the best value in round three.
The undrafted gem for the Broncos.
Yeah, they got a guy who, you know, he was a junior who declared for the draft, and so he was a big name. A lot of people were kind of excited about it. I was excited to study him right before the combine, and that's Jeff Holland from Auburn. He's under 6'1 and a half, so very short, but he's got huge hands. He's got pretty good length, especially for his height. Only a one-year starter off the edge. Took over for Carl Lawson in that spot for the Tigers. But, you know, when I watched Holland, you know, you see that flexibility, you see that change of direction. I mean, there's pass rush potential there, but I think he went undrafted because he's undersized, he's not a great run defender, and he's still kind of finding his way as a pass rusher. To me, he's kind of like a developmental role player. That's why he went undrafted. That being said, when you get to that stage, when you get to the late rounds, and when you get to undrafted free agency, you're looking for traits, and you're looking for things that guys can hang their hat on. And he's got that bend, that flexibility, and that change of direction, the ability to make plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. As long as he's kept clean, I think that he's got the ability to turn into something. It's just going to take a little bit of time. I like the upside, though.
What about the Oakland Raiders? They had a, I'll just say, interesting draft.
This was kind of on the other end of the spectrum for me in terms of trying to figure out like who I liked most. The guy that I would say is the top pick isn't necessarily a guy that I would say for other teams would be a top pick. They took P.J. Hall, ultra-productive defensive tackle from Sam Houston State. His numbers over the course of his career from the FCS level were silly good. I mean, from not just what he did on defense, but just what he did on special teams as well. I mean, the kid blocked like 47 kicks. He blocked 14 kicks in his career. Just a ridiculous number. 6 foot and a half. He's 308 pounds. He tested like a freak show at his pro day, and that really put kind of everybody on notice and put him on the national radar from a media standpoint. I thought his film was good. I didn't think his film was second round good. You know, he's got an explosive upfield step. I like his ability to come upfield and, you know, and try and make plays on the other side of the line of scrimmage. You keep him in an attacking role, and I think he's got potential. At the end of the day, though, I just wondered if he was a three-down player. And if you're not a three-down player for me, I just wonder if he's worth a high second-round selection. So he's got to get better with his toolbox in terms of attacking as a pass rusher. He's got to get stronger. It's obviously going to be a change in terms of the speed of the game for him. I think he could be a nice piece. I just don't know that he's going to be a second-round player. But overall, looking at the haul they got in this draft, I would say he's probably the guy with the highest upside with the top pick in that draft.
Let's get to the L.A. Chargers. Oh, I'm sorry. I got excited there. Who's the sleeper for the Raiders?
Well, it's got to be Maurice Hurst. And first and foremost, you just hope that the kid is able to stay healthy and is able to be safe and everything there. I mean, that's obviously first and foremost above everything else. But on the field, I mean, they got a guy who was a first-round talent. If they had taken him at where they selected, I think initially they were at 12 and they traded down. If they had stayed put and selected him where they were, no one would have batted an eye, and they would have said, yeah, that's a great value outside of the top 10. Getting him in the fourth round, there's a reason why he fell to the fourth round, and it seems to be that it was the heart issue that showed up at the combine. So you hope that he's able to stay healthy and everything there. That goes without saying. That being said, I mean, they got on the field, the guy's an explosive penetrator inside, great three technique prospect, better at the point of attack than people give him credit for. I'd like to see him finish better as a tackler. That was an issue that showed up consistently on film going back to his sophomore season. I've watched Maurice Hurst each of the last 3 years on film, so I've got a pretty good idea of what his strengths and weaknesses have been and then are and what he's kind of developed on it. But one consistent thing has been a lot of just missed tackles in the backfield. He was really productive. He could have been even more productive, but a guy that really profiles to me like a Geno Atkins type. And you know, that Paul Gunther is the defensive coordinator there in Oakland. I'm sure that he was in Cincinnati for a long time. I'm sure he sees a little Geno Atkins there with Mo Hirsch. So to me, that was the guy that's obviously got the highest upside for the guys they took on day three. Again, you just got to hope he stays healthy.
The we'll see for the Raiders?
Yeah, it's going to be their first round pick, Colton Miller. You know, look, there aren't a lot of guys that are 6'8" and move the way that he does, that have feet the way that he does. And he's got rare traits from that standpoint, and that's why he went as high as he did. Because if you just go based off the film, I don't think you would say, yeah, this guy's a top 15 pick. And obviously he ended up being a top 15 pick. 2-year starter, left tackle last year as a junior. He was a right tackle as a sophomore, so you like the versatility. Sounds like he's going to start his career at left tackle, potentially even as a backup this year, and I think he does need that. I would be a little bit afraid if he got thrown in the fire right away. My biggest concerns with Colton Miller, number one, he's got that false step, that issue early in the down, you know, with his weight transfer and things like that early on. If he's lining up at left tackle, he'll move his right foot first forward before he explodes backwards in his set. And that just little wasted movement is something that has plagued Eric Flowers over the course of his career. It was an issue for him at Miami. That's something he needs to get cleaned up. He doesn't use his hands consistently well enough in pass protection. That's a tiny thing he'll need to get cleaned up. And he also needs to get a lot stronger. We've seen young tackles come into the league and struggle with their core strength and their ability to anchor. And for a guy who's 6'9", and this is something he was very defensive about, Colton Miller, at the combine in media interviews was, you know, people worry about my ability to bend and drop my anchor. I'm one of the best squatters on my team. I've got the ability to drop my weight. Still, on film, that was a little bit of a question for me. So those are the big concerns you have. But like I said, from a trait standpoint, it's hard to find anybody that's better from a size and feet, natural athleticism standpoint. So tools are there. It's just going to require a lot of patience and development.
Now we can move on to the Chargers, and their top pick's probably pretty obvious. Oh my gosh. I'm dying. I'm terrible. I am not the undrafted gem right now. I'm very anxious to get to Derwin James, if you can't tell. Anyway, undrafted gem for the Raiders.
Oh, you did that on purpose because you know that my undrafted gem is a Temple guy. You did that absolutely on purpose. So my undrafted gem for the Raiders was Nick Sharga, the fullback from Temple, 6'1". 237 pounds, a little bit undersized, but this kid did a lot for that offense over the last 3 years. He's a 3-year starter, one of the toughest guys on the team. I love his ability to come downhill and just win as an ISO blocker. You know, I remember not this past season, but the year before, his junior year against South Florida. They played on like a Friday night or a Tuesday night. It was a primetime game during the week. And he was the focus of that game because of how he was able to execute as a blocker. He's not a great athlete. He's not a guy that's going to be used as like this playmaker. If you're an Oakland fan hoping for Marcel Reese 2.0, that's not this kid. But I think that he's got the ability to win at the point of attack. John Gruden loves those physical point of attack players at the fullback spot. He's going to keep a fullback, at least one, on this team. Nick Sharga, I think, has got a shot.
Now we can get to the
Chargers.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, so the top pick is definitely Derwin James. They got great value there in the middle part of round one with the guy that is the best pure safety in this class. Just under 6'2". He's 215 pounds. He's got pterodactyl-like length. He's a rangy player. He's an outstanding athlete for someone who's going to play close to the line of scrimmage. The number one concern I've got about Derwin James is if you're going to play him single high, how is he going to react? He didn't spend a lot of time there. There were times where you saw some bad angles to the football. The timing wasn't always there with him. But in this scheme with Gus Bradley, imagine that he's going to be the Cam Chancellor role, and he's going to spend most of his time closer to the line of scrimmage over the tight end. That's where he brings the most value, and I think that's where Derwin James is going to enjoy most of his success. I love the fit. I love the value. This pick was a slam dunk.
Let's get to the sleeper.
So the sleeper for me, I think, when you look at this class as a whole, is a guy that plays in an ideal world. He's probably the same position as Derwin James, but the guy that kind of piqued my interest from their third day of the draft was Kaiser White, the safety kind of linebacker hybrid from West Virginia. He played as kind of like that rover defender, that buck defender for West Virginia in their 3-3-5. So he was basically, for all intents and purposes, he was a linebacker for them. And I'll be interested to see if he can kind of transition to that role at the next level. I think he could be, when it's all said and done, a linebacker in a few years, much like what we've seen the transition with like a Mark Barron over the course of his career and what he is now with the LA Rams. I think that Kaiser White could have the same kind of transition. If not, I think you got a nice backup there for Derwin James. But Kaiser White is a guy I would keep an eye on because the Chargers don't have a lot of depth at inside linebacker. You know, at that scheme, they needed to get better up the middle. And Derwin James gives them that, and Kaiser White, I think, can give them that down the road with some additional patience.
We'll see for the Chargers?
Yeah, this is a player that I think a lot of people were really excited about, and the fit is there in terms of the scheme and all that. And this is Uchenna Nwosu from USC, and this is a guy who really came off the film this year as a senior for them, a player that played off the edge, was very disruptive in terms of making plays on the opposite of the line of scrimmage. He was really impactful on the ball this past season in terms of getting his hands on passes and being able to attack the quarterback. I don't see a natural pass rusher for him. When I look at him, I don't see a guy that's like this really crafty player attacking offensive tackles and winning and getting into the backfield. I don't see him as that kind of guy. I liked him most for his versatility, his ability to drop in coverage. He can set the edge. He's got athletic traits, and I like that. But I would just like to see him kind of get a little bit better. He was kind of like a tweener. Like, I wasn't sure how I viewed him overall. I thought he was a Sam Backer. If he was a Sam Backer, is he going to play in sub package? How is he going to be used? How are you going to value him if he's that? Well, they drafted him. He's going to be their Otto, and in that scheme. That guy is a player who plays in space, and first and second down more often than not. He's going to drop back in coverage. And then on sub package, he's going to come down. He's going to play defensive end. They're going to slide Melvin Ingram or Joey Bosa inside, and he's going to be able to play as a D end and pass only downs. I think that role is perfect, and I love that. But to me, when I watch him, that was my question with him is, what is his overall best fit? I think he found a really good fit there. I like what he's going to do for Gus Bradley.
Let's keep it going and get to the undrafted gem.
Yeah, the kid that's getting a lot of love for them is Tony Brown, the corner from Alabama. Was a five-star recruit, never really put it all together, was kind of like the slot corner for them, really when injury forced their hand there a little bit. Did have some issues early in his career, but was a track star. He was the fastest corner at the combine, so he's getting a lot of love for them. To me, though, I think the guy that fits them more is Brandon Faison from Virginia Tech. He's the guy with great length, great size. He's got the ability to win at the line of scrimmage and press coverage. Showed all kinds of traits early in his career, and then had injuries that kind of derailed him as a junior and senior. And I think that's really why he went undrafted, because this kid's a big corner with traits. He's got ball skills. I mean, those guys usually get drafted even if it's late. The reason why this guy went undrafted is there's questions about his athleticism and the injuries. And to me, he fits the Gus Bradley mold, that big cover three press corner mold, more than what Tony Brown does. I think Tony Brown could make it as a special teamer and as a sub package defender. But I think Brandon Faison could make this team. Maybe not year one. Maybe he's on the practice squad year one. But year two, year three, keep an eye out for this kid. It wouldn't shock me at all if he did make it down the road, because I think he fits Gus Bradley's scheme very well.
Kansas City Chiefs wrapping up the AFC West, their top pick.
So a lot of people were left scratching their heads with Breland Speaks. I really liked Breland Speaks on film from Ole Miss, a junior who declared. He reminded me in some ways of Michael Bennett. He's going to be a really intriguing player. I can't wait to see how he's used. He's got the versatility to line up inside, outside. But I can't talk about the Chiefs and not talk about Derek Nnadi. That's my guy. They took him in the third round. He's going to start day one as their nose tackle in their 3-4 scheme. It's a perfect fit. I love the fit there. They got good value there with him in the third round as well. So to me, Derek Nnadi, for a team that didn't have a first-round pick, they come away with Breland Speaks and Derek Nnadi. I feel pretty good overall about what they were able to do.
The sleeper selection for the Chiefs?
I'm going to go with free safety Armani Watts. And I liked Armani Watts. He's a little bit undersized, and that's going to be the big concern. He's 5'10 and a half, which is very short. He's a shade over 200 pounds, and that's usually like the benchmark that you want for a safety. You don't want guys that are sub 200. He didn't test all that well for his size, and that's got people concerned as well. If you're going to be undersized, you kind of have to be a special athlete. But I'll tell you what, I loved watching the kid play. I mean, the athleticism showed up on film. I thought he was really aggressive. He's got to get better as a tackler overall. That's a little bit of a concern. It was a concern for Justin Evans, his teammate, a year ago when he went in the second or third round to the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think he could be a starting free safety, though. So I'm going to keep an eye on this kid. I think he's got potential to be a starter down the road.
Now we've got the we'll see for the Chiefs.
This was a player that, you know, watching him early on in the process, like back in like January, February, I just never saw it. And that's Dorian O'Daniel. Now, one thing I will say is that this speaks a lot to kind of a shift we saw in the draft over the last few years, and especially this year. These undersized linebackers that maybe even didn't really like weren't used really in stacked formations at all, and were almost like either bigger safeties or bigger slot corners. Those guys went high again, and this kid is one of those players. Dorian O'Daniel was really undersized. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 6 foot and a half, 223 pounds. He's got really short arms, but he tested very well. He shows up as a very good athlete on film. I just wonder how he's going to look when he's asked to play in the trenches, when he's asked to play against the run, against bigger offensive linemen. How is he going to read things stacked inside? That's the question I've got with this kid. But athletically, it's all there. I just didn't see that kind. I didn't see a third-round player on film. That was my biggest thing.
Undrafted gem?
Yeah, they took a quarterback, or they picked up a quarterback from Marshall, who was undrafted, or who was a early enrollee. He was an underclassman who declared for the draft. And that's Chase Litton, big-armed kid, and Andy Reid has had success in the past with big-armed passers and developing them. Chase Litton, I know that, you know, there were some issues there, and that's probably why he went undrafted a little bit, but a big kid with a pretty good arm. I think he shows a pretty good idea of what he's doing before the snap. He was given a lot of responsibility pre-snap, and I think there's something to be said for that. He's got good touch. Accuracy is a little bit of an issue. Pocket movement, athleticism is a little bit of an issue. But developmental player, I do like the pickup there. I think he's got a little bit of upside. He could stick as a number three quarterback early on.
All right, Niners, top pick.
I love what they did in the draft. We talked about that in our initial draft recap. Got to talk about Mike McGlinchey. He was my number one tackle. I thought he was a top 15 prospect in this class. They took him number 9 overall. Gives them help at tackle. They need that athleticism, that versatility in Kyle Shanahan's scheme. I think he's got the ability to do that. Just a rock-solid player that I think he's going to be a good pro for a long time.
The sleeper pretty obvious with the NC State D lineman.
Yeah, Kentavious Street was a player that I was a huge fan of throughout the process. I love his versatility. He's just not going to play year one. I love his motor. Everything about this kid, he uses his hands well. He's got a good plan of attack against pass rush or against offensive linemen. He can play inside, play outside. The ACL late this spring is what really hurt him, but he still went in the fourth round. I love his talent.
We'll see. Dante Pettis?
Yeah, I think because, you know, you don't necessarily see that this guy is a top 50 type pick, but you watch him on film and, you know, he's a crafty route runner. He catches everything, just super, super reliable. They also just have a lot of guys that are kind of have that same skill set with Pettis. They took Richie James late. They've got the kid Trent Taylor from last year. So they've got a lot of those undersized slot guys, but I really like this kid on film.
Undrafted gem for the Niners.
I went with Tarveris McFadden. Oversized press corner. I think he's got excellent ball skills. Recovery speed was why he went undrafted. He can't run right now, and that's the big issue you have, is him being able to recover when he's beat early in the down. But a lot like what we talked about with Brandon Faison and how he could fit with Gus Bradley, I think Tarveris McFadden will fit that scheme very well. So I think he's a guy to keep an eye on this summer. He's a dark horse to make that team.
Let's get to the Arizona Cardinals. I think we know the top pick, and that's the quarterback, Josh Rosen. We talked about that after the draft and the way in which they were able to get him from 15 to 10. What about the sleeper for the Cardinals, Fran?
I'm going with Chase Edmonds, the running back from Fordham. I said before the draft, he kind of reminds me of a James White type of player. I think he could be a really nice complimentary piece. They've got David Johnson there already in place. This guy can catch the ball out of the backfield. They've shown to have success with small school players. They're not afraid to Steve Keim's not afraid to select those guys from lower levels of competition. Competitive runner. He would have gone higher had he not been bothered by injuries this year. This kid was really productive over the course of his four-year career.
We'll see for the Cards.
Yeah, Mason Cole, I think they're hoping he was a third-round pick from Michigan. They're hoping that he'll kind of solve their center issues. I watched him at center as a junior and, again, as a left tackle this year. He's got the versatility, which I love. He's got NFL size. I like that. I just worried overall about his just ability to play inside. You know, I'd worried about the core strength a little bit. The snap to block quickness, I think, was a little bit of a concern to me. I thought that he had some issues in terms of just letting defenders into his pads after the snap when he played as a center as a junior. So we'll see how he's going to pan out. I wasn't a huge, huge fan of Mason Cole.
Undrafted gem for the Cards?
Yeah, Alec James from Wisconsin flashed every single time I watched Wisconsin, whether I was watching a player on that defense or somebody that was playing Wisconsin on offense. Every time Alec James showed up, he's got NFL size, and I like his motor.
Let's get to the Seahawks. Their top pick, I'm curious to see what you do here. Who's their top pick?
So I went with Rashad Penny only because it was almost kind of by default, because I wasn't like super like over the moon about anybody that they took up high. But Rashad Penny, look, if you think that he's the guy that we saw against Stanford, against Arizona State, the best competition on the schedule, I mean, this kid is going to be a stud for them. And he's going to be their workhorse. You draft him in the first round. He's going to be your lead back. He can handle that workload. He showed that this year. He can offer special teams value. But to me, you're asking him to be a three-down player. He's going to catch passes out of the backfield. He's going to be you're between the tackles runner. You're going to get him out in space and try and use his vision and his elusiveness to make people miss. The good of Rashad Penny was really good. There was just a little bit too much bad for me to say, yeah, he was a first-round player, but they obviously felt differently. I know they're very excited to have him in the building from a complete total picture standpoint. I'm excited to see how he fits this year.
Sleeper selection?
They've taken a lot of day three safeties over the last couple of years, guys that could fit either the Earl Thomas role at free safety or, you know, the Cam Chancellor role at strong safety. And I went with a guy that kind of fits more of the latter in Trey Flowers, who's an oversized safety from Oklahoma State. The guy's got huge pipes, the ability to come downhill and lay a hit on a ball carrier. Trey Flowers, I think, is a really intriguing player as a developmental strong safety.
I really thought Rashad Penny would be your Will C for the Seahawks, but who's your Will C for the Seahawks?
Yeah, that's Rashim Green, and I think when you look at Rashim Green, a lot of people early on when he declared thought he was going to be a first-round pick. I thought they got fine value with where they got him in the third round, but I think when you look at Rashim Green overall, he's more traits than he is polished right now. I thought that he's probably at his best inside as a pass rusher, not necessarily off the edge. It sounds like he's going to be used kind of like how Michael Bennett was, where he's going to play base downs outside and slide inside, which I think that's really the recipe for success with him. I just was worried about him against the run. He got uprooted by double teams with way too much ease. Worrying about him at the point of attack is my biggest concern. So the value was fine, but that's my long-term concern for this kid is just his ability to hold up against the run if he's going to be able to be a three-down player.
And they're undrafted, Jim.
One of my favorite undrafted players, and that's Puna Ford. The kid has just gotten disrespected throughout the entire process, didn't go to the combine, was a late invite to the Senior Bowl. He's very undersized, but a guy who knows what he's doing with his hands. I love his motor. He's quick off the ball. This kid, I think, has the ability to be a really nice interior disruptor, and I think they got good value there getting him an undrafted free agency.
What I mean, you're not the only one that's mentioned him. What is the negative about him?
His size. Like, he has rare size in terms of, I mean, he's shorter than any defensive tackle that's been drafted in the last decade. He's got really tiny hands. I think that's the biggest knock on him. He's going to need to get stronger, and there are things about his game where, he's not a guy that's going to fit every scheme. I think you look at it and you're like, all right, why did Grady Jarrett go in the sixth round? Because of his size. Why did Aaron Donald fall outside the top 10? Because of his size. Like, I think that's really what happened with Puna Ford, is that he was an undersized kid that just he just kept falling and falling, and he ended up going undrafted.
Let's get to the Rams, who obviously had a sort of a unique draft.
Very, very much so. You know, they go in, they don't have their first, they don't have their second, they don't have their third. So what do? They make a whole bunch of deals, and they end up with like 17 sixth-round picks. They end up with a pretty good haul. I mean, they came away with some nice players. The top pick for me is Joseph Noteboom, the tackle from TCU. He's the first pick of their draft, and he was the third-round pick, the 89th overall selection. He's a guy with size, and he's got pretty good feet. I think he's a developmental player. I like the kid and the prospect overall. I like the value. I think he's a good third round pick. He's going to be an interesting player. He's not going to start early, but I think he could be a starter with good time.
Sleeper selection?
Yeah, this is a player that they showed a lot of interest in the pre-draft process, and that's Ogbonnia Okoronkwo from Oklahoma. He fits kind of Wade Phillips in terms of what he's going to be. He's got that, he'll be that open side defensive end. He'll come off the ball. He'll use that motor. He's got a couple moves that are kind of his go-to moves as a pass rusher. Early on in the process, I kind of thought that he was more of an off-the-ball guy, but as I watched more and more and more, I thought he proved this year, to me at least, that he could be an edge rusher in the NFL. Is he a three-down player? Probably not, but I think that he could be a nice piece on a defensive line.
I think I saw he might have just had surgery or something. I think I might have seen that yesterday. I'd have to check on that. What about the Will C for the Rams?
Yeah, I should also mention, too, Ross, that they took John Kelly shortly after Ogbonnia Okoronkwo. And if the running back from Tennessee reminds me a lot of Deion Lewis, and I really like that pick as well. I think he's going to be the number two player behind Todd Gurley this year. So keep an eye on John Kelly as well. But as far as the Will C, John Franklin Myers was a defensive lineman they took with the 35th pick in the fourth round. Was another guy who blew up the combine, and that's that really kind of put him on a national radar. I think when you look at this kid, though, it's a lot of traits, and you want to see more from the film. Comes from a lower level of competition, Stephen F. Austin, but at 283 pounds, he ran 4.76, really quick off the ball when you watch him on film. A high motor kid, he makes plays up and down the field, sideline to sideline. He's got to get stronger. He's got to play with better pad level. I think he's got the ability to develop into something, into an explosive interior rusher on sub package. He's just not there yet. I think that with time, he could be a nice player, though.
What about the undrafted gem for the Rams?
Yeah, this was to me, this was Tigre Scales from Indiana. I was a little shocked that his teammate Chris Covington went before him in this draft. I know some people weren't necessarily surprised by that, but I thought that this kid was a better player overall than Covington, even though Covington had better size. And I think that's why ultimately Tigre Scales fell out of this draft. Was he's 6'1¼. He's 230 pounds. He's got tiny arms. He's got tiny hands. I mean, he just doesn't have the traits. He didn't test all that well. Didn't have a full testing anyway. He only ran the 40, and he didn't run it particularly well. So you look at him, and you're not completely wowed from him physically, but instinctive kid who has been extremely productive and over the course of his career with the Hoosiers. So size, speed, not really an impressive number, but I think the kid's got really good instincts. I think he could make the team.
One more division to go, or two more divisions, one more week. Next week, we will wrap up what's been a really, really fun series here on the College Draft Podcast. Of course, you can always catch Fran on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, talking about the game of football from all 22. He's got the Journey to the Draft over at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. So if you haven't gotten enough draft talk from Fran, you can always get more from him. And, of course, check him out on Twitter like I do, at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker, NFL. Brian, our podcast producer, is at RTF Podcast. That's when you can know right away when the show has been posted. And we'll get to start to get to some of your email questions over the next few weeks as well. Other than that, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chug, 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 chug.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.